Hi, and welcome to Actual Books Audio. My name is Chris Taylor. And today we're discussing Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire. The book was written by Braden Kelly, and this article was written by Andy Budgell. Quote, successful growing organizations often focus on driving out the operational inefficiencies they maintain during their startup phase. And unintentionally, they erect barriers to innovation as they become ever more efficient and profitable. It comes from Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire, page one. Braden Kelly, author of Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire, is no stranger to innovation. He was the founder of Blogging Innovation, the internet's fastest growing innovation community. He has recently teamed up with another innovation authority, Rowan Gibson, who penned the foreword to this book, and they've collaborated on innovationexcellence.com. Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire is a distillation of his original blog and is an invaluable resource for managers looking to break down the barriers that prevent innovation in their companies and organizations. Golden egg for this week's article, move the innovation to the center. Quote, you have to make sure that stakeholders know not only that innovation is important to the organization, but also what innovation means in their organization and how they can participate. It comes from Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire, page 10. Is innovation at the center, the heart of your company? If it isn't, it should be. Your employees must recognize that innovation is not only valued, but that it's a priority in your organization. Otherwise, as Kelly writes, how can stakeholders be expected to make any significant changes? As most of us know, humans are naturally resistant to change, doubly so in business, where failure can mean termination. To circumvent this fear, a clear innovation vision must be articulated, complete with a plan, by the senior leaders. As Kelly explains, an effort to move innovation to the center is best led by the CEO, but it requires the support and involvement of the senior leadership team to tell the stories to employees and customers about what the organization is trying to achieve, what innovation means to their organization, and how the employees and other stakeholders can participate. Page 10. An innovation vision is fluid and always changing, depending upon the marketplace's need at any given time. That said, there are a few places we can start in creating our own. Gem number one is to innovate for the future present. Quote, the ideal is to design a product based on customer insights appropriate to the time of the product launch to maximize the useful life of the customer insights. Comes from Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire, page 57. In researching Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire, Kelly spoke with ethnographer Cynthia Duval, who advised ethnographers and researchers involved in innovation to consider the timeline of the development process when extracting insights. This is critical to success because, quote, if you've got a 12 to 18 month product or service development process to go from insight to in market, then you should be looking not to identify the insights that are most relevant to today, but the insights that will be most relevant 12 to 18 months from now. This is innovating for the future present, anticipating what your customers will need at the time when you launch your product or service. This kind of innovation isn't easy and necessitates flexibility in case the insights you have predicted are a little off the mark. But almost all the leaders in any particular field, Apple for instance, have mastered this. Those who haven't have fallen behind, many irretrievably so. The trick for innovating for the present future is to get to know your customer well and learn to think one step ahead of them. So, what are your customers asking for? And what can you extrapolate from that to identify what they might want in the future? Gem number two, accessing the voice of the customer. Quote, the man or woman stitching up your clothing has no idea whether the stitching method worked well for you or if you're happy with the product. They only know whether they made their daily quota and how much failed quality control. If the person stitching up your clothing had access to the voice of the customer, would they do their job differently? Would they feel differently about their job? It comes from Stoking the Innovation Bonfire, page 47. In today's business world, the employee class is largely disconnected from the voice of the customer. A consumer's thoughts on a product or service, whether they loved it, were generally satisfied but thought it required improvement, hated it, or otherwise, is typically relegated to the company's marketing or customer research department. Kelly would argue that this detachment between the employee class and the consumer is not conducive to innovation and the creation of a quality product or service. Quote, today's customers benefit from marketing developments such as mass customization, mass personalization, and micro-segmentation. In addition, they have unrivaled access to communication channels to make their preferences known. I found the example that Kelly provided and quoted at the beginning of this gem to be a good one. I'll offer another. My favorite holiday film, A Christmas Carol, starring Alistair Sim, was released 2 years ago on Blu-ray by VCI Home Entertainment. While the quality of the film on Blu-ray was miles ahead of the previous standard definition DVD incarnation, especially for a 60-year-old film, there were still many problems with the video and audio that could have easily been avoided. As Kelly writes, today's consumers have unrivaled access to communication channels. Today's home video enthusiasts are especially savvy. Gone are the days when you blindly picked up a video off the shelf. Today, there are reviewers to tell you if a film has been properly presented on home video. The said reviewers pointed these flaws in their reviews of A Christmas Carol, which deterred many from purchasing the film. Consumers in turn voiced these problems on such online forums as the Home Theater Forum and Blu-ray.com, and on VCI's Facebook page and through their customer support email address. This year, VCI is releasing the film again on Blu-ray, and avowed that they've gotten their product right this time. And if they don't, you know consumers will be using those online outlets to make sure their voices are heard. Simply stated, Kelly is an advocate of allowing anyone in the company to access the voice of the consumer, for the betterment of the company, the employee, and the consumer. As Kelly himself asks, what have you got to lose? The answer, of course, is nothing. So the question for you is, who in your company is currently interacting directly with the end user? And are there other people that should be? The answer to that is yes, by the way. You just fill in the blank as to who. Braden Kelly's Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire is a small book, jam-packed with invaluable information on how to ignite innovation. It's a vital tool in helping erode the barriers to lasting innovation. Throughout the text, Kelly provides many helpful illustrations, diagrams, and graphs, as well as more than 30 pages of appendices to get your innovation juices flowing. He even went so far as to establish innovationbonfire.com for the overflow of material that didn't make the final manuscript, where you can be sure there's plenty of opportunity for user feedback. Simply put, Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire is a must-read to help you and your team get innovating and stay ahead of the competition. This has been Actual Books Audio. My name's Chris Taylor, and we're reviewing Stoking Your Innovation Bonfire by Braden Kelly. We hope you enjoyed it.